And away we go. It's another Manic Monday. Was that a song? Manic Monday. Here we are. Monday, January the 27th, 2020. 12 minutes past the hour. You're tuned into the Now program. Scott Spears along with you for the ride for the next 2 hours. And we have a lot to do. It's one of those mornings, again, where we have the slate full of things to talk about. Now, one of the things that's kind of a big deal to talk about this morning is I have the Gravy Review. Now, I'm going to take, because I know people don't listen every morning, and sometimes people just catch the replay, and they lose track of what's been going on. So I'm going to describe what went on with the sausage, biscuits, and gravy. I think that's what you call it. I'm going to describe what went on with that Friday after I left the studio here and give you a full review, because it did happen. But I want to do our housekeeping first, and I also want to talk about something kind of important. And well, it is important. And then we'll do that. Then we'll come back to this. So on Monday, we're not here on the weekend, so we read our bicentennial moments from the weekend before, and we also do Mondays on Monday morning. So let's do our bicentennial moments from the weekend. Saturday, January 25th, here is the bicentennial moment. The First National Bank of Marion, Charter number 287, was the successor in 1865 to the Bank of Marion, which had been founded in 1851. Abraham Manette served as the bank president, with J.J. Hayne as the cashier, as evidenced by their signatures on the note. While this bank was not successful and closed in 1869, Manette's descendants stayed in the banking industry, with his grandson, Ora Manette, becoming one of the founders of Bank of America, Los Angeles. So how about that? You know, the Manette name in Marion was kind of big, and I think in some way it was tied to the late Oliver and Merle Hamilton, which were big movers and shakers here in Marion. It seems to me like either Oliver's mother or father was a Manette, something like that. I don't know if this is the same family lineage. Back then, Manette could have been like Smith, but I do remember that. And Oliver lived to be 104. I think he passed away sometime in the late, well, see, now how do you say this? The late, early 2000s. 2000 to 2010, it was like 2007, I think Oliver passed away, 2006. So being 104, he would have been born in the early 1900s. But that's interesting about the bank and the Manette name. Here's a bicentennial moment from Sunday, January 26th. More than 100 Marion County businesses are known to have utilized a variety of tokens in their dealings with customers. The token, issued in 1865 by A.E. Griffin, a Marion dentist, is one of the most sought after by collectors and is believed to be the only Civil War-era token used in Marion County. For more information on historic Marion County currency tokens and a wide variety of other Marion County items, visit Mike Crane's webpage at UCurve. Now, let's see. You know, websites are weird because it's all one word, so I'm trying to decipher what this is. UCurveYNave.com. So I'm just going to spell this out for you once. YOUSCURVENAVE. That's the website, .com. YOUSCURVENAVE.com. If you want information on the tokens that were used here for a while. And now we're on to today's bicentennial moment, Monday, January the 27th, 2019. Marion County has 15 townships spread across 404 miles. Most of the townships were named for geographical features. Prominent individuals or as references to townships in other areas. Among those are Big Island, named for a large grove of trees in the middle of what was a large ocean of prairie grass, Bowling Green, named by early settler Thomas Parr for the township where he had lived in Licking County, Grand, originally the largest township in acreage, but now the smallest after adjoining townships were formed, and Grand Prairie, named for the large sweep of prairie land that welcomed early settlers. All right, those are your bicentennial moments for Monday, January the 27th, 2020. Now, here's the serious thing we're going to talk about. And you know, we try to keep this program light. We try to keep it airy. We try to keep it moving and a lot of fun. But sometimes national news... Oh, is my microphone going funny? Okay. I think we're back. Okay. You know, sometimes national news creeps in, and you do have to acknowledge it, because if you don't acknowledge it, it's as if you're living in a cave or something. Okay. Now I think the microphone's back. Okay. See, here's the problem with the microphone. We set these papers, like the bicentennial moments, on top of the soundboard, and for some, we shouldn't do that, I guess. We should set them somewhere else, find a new place to put them. Because when we put them on the soundboard, it messes with the knobs, which causes a whole problem. Anyway, the national news, which I'm sure that this is no shock to anybody, we're going to talk about here for a minute, is the horrible, horrible, horrible accident yesterday that killed basketball star Kobe Bryant at age 41 and his 13-year-old daughter and I believe seven other passengers is what it is at this point, nine altogether in the helicopter that went down yesterday. And, you know, here is what... Well, let's start here. I do not know a lot about Kobe Bryant because I am not a huge basketball fan. I like to go to basketball games. I like to watch basketball. I certainly know who Kobe Bryant was because he was such a huge star in that field and also doing a lot of good philanthropic things. But 41 years old, that is the tragedy of that particular situation. And also the tragedy, he wasn't ill. He didn't know it was going to happen. And the fact that, you know, nine people died along with him yesterday, including his daughter, who was 13 years old. Now, I don't know if there could have been a way to avoid this. I don't know. You know, sometimes things just happen, I guess. But what it made me think about, two things is what it made me think about. Number one, we always think, we really, really do, even if we don't, we really believe we're going to be here tomorrow. And we think that tomorrow is promised, and if things are not great today or things are really good today on the opposite end, that we're going to be here tomorrow to enjoy or possibly fix those problems. But we're not always going to be. I don't think anybody who went up in that helicopter yesterday believed that that was going to be it for them. And I bet there was a lot of things they wish they had said to people before that had happened. And it's just unbelievably catastrophic. It's horribly sad. It's horribly sad anytime it happens to anybody. Which leads me into my second point. Now, I don't know what drives this, and I really don't know where it comes from. But even I posted a little something, basically on Facebook, just saying what I had just said. I didn't follow Kobe Bryant's career, but I know who he was, and I feel like, you know, people need to take heed of this accident and tell people why they matter. Because I had this whole conversation last week with two friends of mine about how we always wait till a retirement party or a death to tell people how we feel about them. And by the way, did anybody see the crowd that gathered at the Staples Center in Los Angeles last night for Kobe Bryant? Now, this is impromptu. You know, nobody organized these people going down there. Nobody knew that this was going to happen to Kobe Bryant yesterday. And the size of that crowd was just amazing. So he meant a lot of stuff to a lot of people. Now, back to what I was saying here. You know, tell people what they mean to you. Okay, I posted that on Facebook, and for the most part, people agreed. People were right on with what I was saying. But there were a couple people on the post. Now, the man had not even been dead 24 hours. He still hasn't been dead 24 hours. And they were already kind of trashing him. And I don't understand that. I don't understand. You know, he might have done bad things in his life. To be honest with you, I'm not familiar enough with his life to know if he did bad things or not. Maybe he did. But I do know he also brought a lot of people a lot of joy. And even if you don't like him, even if you think he did bad things in his life, within 24 hours of his death is not the time to bring those up. You know, history will end up telling the story of Kobe Bryant. I don't think that that's the time to go make a nasty comment, even if you're not his biggest fan. I think that's the time you might just need to be quiet. So, you know, to see that yesterday is awful. I always think it's awful in general to down somebody in general, because I don't know why you're doing it. I don't know why you're doing it in public, even if it is true, because that's always the cop-out. Well, it's true, so I can say whatever I want about him. Well, fine, okay. Let's look in your closet. Let's see how many things you did that were not always on the level. And, you know, what is it? People who live in glass houses should not throw stones? Well, I think that's a good lesson to heed from the way people reacted. Now, the other thing yesterday, and this is not necessarily a knock on people, but I just saw so many of these last night, I was kind of shocked. Now, yes, there were other people on this plane, or this helicopter. There were other people on this helicopter who were killed. And their lives mean just as much to their family as Kobe Bryant's did to his and his daughter. There's no doubt about it. But it was almost as if people were getting vicious last night. And I don't think they were being vicious toward Kobe Bryant. It just seemed as if they were getting vicious because nobody was reporting the names and nobody was talking as much about the pilot and the other people on the plane. I mean, they talked about him some, but not as much as they were talking about Kobe Bryant. Well, the reason for that is because Kobe Bryant is known by more people. You know, I guarantee you, all over the United States yesterday, people died. This group of people was not the only group of people who died yesterday. And we don't publicize everybody's death. If all the news did was publicize people's death, the news would just be a complete obituary report all day long because people are dying all the time. And does it mean their lives mean less? No, it doesn't mean that at all. All it means is that more people knew Kobe Bryant, and they did. I mean, did anybody really in their heart know who the helicopter pilot was? Did anybody really know who the other people on that helicopter was? Probably not until yesterday. But I bet people know who Kobe Bryant was. So I don't understand. I mean, is that a knock on celebrity, that we're a celebrity-obsessed culture? I don't really know what that's supposed to mean. And I'm fine for mentioning the helicopter pilot. I'm fine for mentioning the other people on the helicopter. But I don't know why people used it in that way to say, well, don't forget these people because they were also on the... Nobody's forgetting them at all. It's just that if you went on the airwave or you went on Facebook and you said such and such was killed in a helicopter accident, I'm guessing people would probably not pay as much attention because they don't know the person. Now, they might be very sad, but they just don't know him. And did a lot of people know Kobe Bryant personally? Probably not. But they know he's... I knew who he was, and I'm not a huge basketball fan. So people have to understand that the news, okay, and this is obviously not political. This was a death. This was a tragedy. That the news is there to report that of which is not ordinary. And when a person who is as well known as Kobe Bryant, not to mention sold the merchandise that he did, not to mention been on television as much as he did, not to mention sold as many tickets to games as he did, is killed at 41 years old in a horrible way, that is not an ordinary, everyday story. So it becomes news. So it ends up on television. It becomes breaking news. Does it mean the other people on the plane, on the helicopter, excuse me, I keep saying plane, does it mean the other people on the helicopter didn't matter? No, it doesn't mean that at all. It just means that more people knew who Kobe Bryant was, and that's why that was the story. That's all it means. So, yes, remember the other people on the helicopter. Feel awful for their families, just as I do. But don't use that as some kind of reasoning to fault the media or say that we're a celebrity-obsessed culture, because a whole lot of other people died yesterday as well who will never be publicized. So I guess I could say that just because you were on the helicopter with Kobe Bryant, your name ended up in the news, because there were a lot of people who died in every state yesterday who got no news coverage. Now, were people as outraged about that? How many people died yesterday texting while driving? How many people died yesterday drunk driving? How many people died just because somebody ran a stop sign? A ton. A ton. Were any of them covered in the national news? No. Are people as outraged about that? No. So, you know, just pick your battles. Remember them if you want, but just don't use it as a reason to twist the knife about media and celebrity and the whole bit, especially when somebody has died, and they died too, and that's important. It's important to remember them, but when people start using it as, you know, don't forget this person, well, I don't think anybody's forgetting them. I guarantee you, nobody in any newsroom yesterday who was reporting this story felt happy about anybody dying in that helicopter crash. So it's awful. And you know what? I'll tell you another reason the Kobe Bryant, his name impacts better. There were a lot of kids across this country who looked up to him. Now, for right or wrong, you can agree with it or disagree with it, they did. They bought his basketballs, they got autographs, they bought shoes because maybe he wore them, they made sure to be home to watch the game when he was playing, they bought jerseys with his name on it. So for people who never met him, he had an impact on them, and that's why it's a story. Simple as that. When I die, nobody's going to report on that. I'm not broke up about that. It's just how it works. And but I can guarantee you, if God forbid, a celebrity died, or a well-known politician, or a scientist who did a great thing, that is going to be publicized. Does it mean my life meant any less? No. It just, they did something that a lot of people knew about, so it's reporting it in a bigger way. And I even saw things yesterday about, you know, all the people who died yesterday who weren't mentioned. Well, you know, hopefully they're remembered by their families, and hopefully they're remembered by people in general. I don't know why every time we have a death like this, something like that happens, that people take that as their opportunity to take a jab at somebody. It's really disheartening to me. But, you know, everybody who was on the helicopter yesterday, I guess we can just say we hope they're in a better place. And we're sorry it happened. It's horrible. There was a tribute on the Grammys last night, impromptu, to start off for Kobe Bryant. Like I said, the people at the Staples Center, it was amazing. So there's that. That's my rant on that this morning. Now, does anybody feel that way, or maybe am I just completely off base with this? Give me a call, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. 32 minutes past the hour. Does anybody agree or disagree with what I just said? And feel free to disagree with me, because, you know, maybe you don't feel the same way that I do about that. That's just the conclusion that I've come to about the things that I saw yesterday. But let me know. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. Or just in general, what do you think of the horrible nature of the accident that happened? And what do you think Kobe Bryant means to the game of basketball? I think he's one of the big ones. I mean, he really is. I know Michael Jordan, Magic Johnson, Larry Bird, a lot of great basketball players, but you certainly cannot say that Kobe Bryant is not in that class. I think he is without question. So, if anybody has anything to say about that little soliloquy I just gave, or anything else, give me a ring, 740-383-9944. I just don't know why, when a tragedy happens, there always has to be some kind of backlash. I mean, I would think that we could get through one tragedy without having a backlash. But maybe I'm wrong. Okay, 33 minutes past the hour. Okay, let's transition out of that into something. Well, here it is. I'm going to give this review. But oh, by the way, I want to mention this as well, really quickly. Wednesday, you want to tune into this show Wednesday, because all morning Wednesday, we're going to have a guest live in studio, somebody who's never been here, by the way, never been in studio. Wednesday morning, 2 hours in studio. I'm not going to tell you about it today. I'm going to make sure it's all confirmed and all shored up, even though I'm pretty sure it is. But Wednesday morning, this person will be sitting with me for 2 hours, and I can guarantee you it's going to be a lot of fun that Tuesday morning. So get ready for that. Okay, what else do we have going on here? Okay, let's get to the gravy. That is seemingly the big question of the day. People want to hear the gravy review. So I'm going to try to run through this as quickly as I can, because this started a while ago, and it finally came to culmination last Friday. So here's what happened. I'm trying to remember exactly how this started, but it was basically me talking about things that I do not like to eat. And one of the things that I just don't like to eat is gravy. I'm just not a big fan of gravy. I'm not a big fan of peanut butter. You know, certain things I just don't like. Now, I can eat peanut butter. So if you ever see me eating peanut butter, and don't say I'm a liar and that I have totally lost my mind. But gravy is one that I just really don't like. Gravy is one I almost try to totally avoid. Now, I will say that I have had a little bit of gravy on mashed potatoes from time to time, and that is not horrible, but it's not something I would go to. A lot of people think like fried chicken and mashed potatoes and gravy are comfort food. I've heard that referred to as comfort food. It's not really comfort food for me, because I'm not a big gravy person, but I have eaten that gravy, which I guess somebody told me about. Did somebody call in Friday? It might have been somebody who called in. Said that that gravy is broth gravy, and the sausage biscuits and gravy, that's a milk-based gravy. Okay, now, saying that, let's get to what happened. I said I did not like gravy, but that I don't really ever remember trying sausage biscuits and gravy. Now, I'm sure I have. And I know it's a favorite of everybody else on planet Earth but me, but I don't ever remember trying it. Okay, so that being said, a friend of mine, who I don't mind mentioning her name now because she said it was okay and you've heard her, she's called in and that was fun on Friday, Abby, said she, because, now see, here's the other thing you got to remember. Abby, her roots in life are in Kentucky. You know, Abby has deep roots in the state of Kentucky. And, you know, I like Southern people quite a bit. So that doesn't bother me at all. But here is Abby, who's got these deep roots. And that's what they say in Kentucky. They say roots. So I try to adjust it to make it sound right for Abby, who might be... I don't even know if she's listening this morning, to be honest. But, you know, roots. Her roots are in Kentucky. Down there with the Colonel. You know, I never thought about that. But Kentucky Fried Chicken came from Kentucky, too. And Abby, as well, had these deep roots in Kentucky. Okay, so here's the deal. Abby jumps in when I'm knocking sausage, biscuits, and gravy and says, well, if you've never tried it, how do you know if you like it or not? Well, I'll give her that. That's true. You know, I just have a feeling I'm not going to like it because I'm not a big gravy fan. But she is true. I had not tried it that I remembered. Okay. Well, Abby then, who is probably the most competitive person on the face of God's green earth. Now, I'm going to prove to you in this little soliloquy that I'm doing here that she is the most competitive person on the face of God's green earth in just a second. Even though she claims she's not, I'm going to prove to you why she is. Okay, here's what happened. So Abby says she's going to make this Kentucky biscuits and gravy, and she's going to have it for me, and I'm going to be a convert on gravy. All of a sudden, I'm going to come to love gravy. Okay, that's the story. So, this goes on for a few days last week because she could not make it immediately. I think it all started on Monday. And by the way, I do want to give Abby props because last Monday, out of the blue, she showed up here with a large Diet Coke. And as all of you know, anybody who shows up with a large Diet Coke is immediately my friend from McDonald's. Now, I'm not saying I don't like large Diet Cokes from other places. Just particularly, McDonald's is my place. Okay. Which she delivered it here to the studio. And I'm still amazed by that. Although she has not come back, it has been a week now. Because I do believe that was last Monday. It was either last Monday or last Tuesday she did that. Might have been Tuesday. But she brought a large Diet Coke here, so we were on really good terms. But she's going to make this gravy. That was the story. And I'm going to eat this gravy, and apparently I'm going to fall in love with gravy. Okay, that's the story. So Friday was the big day. I knew she was making it that afternoon. And I was starting to get nervous because this is just something I really don't think I'm going to like. That's what I'm thinking to myself Friday morning. And I think I even referred to it as slop. I think I even referred to sausage gravy as slop on Friday morning because it just was not something I wanted to do, to be perfectly honest. So this apparently upset Abby because, again, she's the most competitive person you've ever known. She wants you to like everything that she's going to cook. She wants to be the best at everything. A matter of fact, I love telling this story, and I told it on the air last week, and it's a true story. One day, her and I were walking together, and there were some kids, totally out of the blue. There were these kids who were running, and she, out of the blue, she doesn't know who these kids are. She says, I could run with you. I could beat you in a running match right now. And clearly, these kids would have left her in the dirt. I mean, seriously. You remember the old Roadrunner cartoons? That's what it would have been like. These kids would have taken off. There would have been a cloud of dust. And that would have been it. You know, she would have been like the coyote, left way behind. And the Roadrunner would have taken off. Okay. So that's her competitiveness. She's going to make me like this sausage, biscuits, and gravy. So I'm talking about this all week, calling it slop, making fun of it, so on and so forth. And she gets angry about this on Friday. She would say she wasn't angry, but I felt a little twinge of anger in the phone call. So she calls in totally unprompted on Friday and tells me how I'm wrong and I'm going to love this and the whole thing's going to be great. Okay. Here we go. So, I show up for the sausage, biscuits, and gravy on Friday. And there are pictures of this on Facebook, by the way. They're on my personal page, but there are pictures of this now that exist. So, I show up for this on Friday, and I'll give her this. She did have bacon there that was not involved in the gravy for me to eat. She did have extra biscuits. She did have jelly, which I assume she bought for that day because I had to open it. You know, I had to pull the tab off to open the Smucker's jelly that she had bought, grape and strawberry flavored. And then there was the sausage biscuits and gravy. So I walk over, and immediately I know there's going to be trouble because the sight of it in this crock pot is, you know, uncomfortable to me. It just is, oh no, this is not good. This is not something I'm going to like. Now, you know when you see something that you say, man, I'm just not going to like this. So I get a biscuit. I crack the biscuit open, which apparently is what you have to do. There was a good laugh over that because apparently I had no idea how to crack the biscuit open or what the proper procedure was to eat sausage biscuits and gravy. But I cracked the biscuit open and I put a little bit of sausage gravy on the biscuit. And apparently I was even wrong in that. Apparently I put too little on there. But let me tell you, that's about all I knew I was going to be able to take. So I get a little bit of sausage gravy on the biscuit. And by the way, if you want to look at these, like I say, I think what's online is a picture of me about to eat the sausage gravy. There's a picture of the biscuit with the gravy on it. There's a picture of the gravy in the crock pot. So it's all on my personal page. If you go to it, you can see these things. Okay. So, it comes time to eat this stuff. And it was one of those moments where I knew I wasn't going to like it, but it's me. It's truly, it's me. It has nothing to do with anybody else. Now, if people who like it probably love it. And I'll tell you this, I will be honest in reporting here because we want to be honest that there were other people in the room that day that like sausage gravy, who tasted this, who thought it was delicious. You know, there were people commenting about, you know, not having to have dinner that night, and this is so good, and I really like it. So, I'm not saying that the sausage gravy was bad. For people who like sausage gravy, it sounds like it was a pretty good sausage gravy. Okay, but now let me get to my review for everybody who commented on this, because I got memes on Facebook, I got pictures, I got people telling me I was nuts for not liking this, the whole bit. You know, I got all kinds of things. People telling me I didn't have enough gravy on the biscuit. So I take a bite of it, which took a little bit to get it down, to be honest with you. And what I immediately realized when I put it in my mouth was that I'm in trouble, that a problem has arisen. Because this is not my thing. There's something about the taste of it. And again, I don't remember having sausage biscuits and gravy in the past. But I do now, after having it Friday. So I put it in my mouth. And immediately, there's trouble. Because what it tasted to me like, and again, this is not a knock on Abby's cooking. This is not a knock on anything. It's not a knock on people who like sausage gravy. But what it tasted like to me was it tasted like wallpaper paste on a biscuit. That's what it put me in the mind of. Wallpaper paste on a biscuit. Now, again, that might just be me. That might not be what normal people, and clearly I'm not normal, that might not be what normal people would think of it. But for me, that's what it reminded me of. Wallpaper paste on a biscuit. So I did eat the whole biscuit. I want to be on record as saying that. I did choke back the whole biscuit. And our other cohort who was there did bring me a Diet Coke, so I have to be, you know, happy about that. I have to thank them for bringing the Diet Coke to save me, because that did save me as I was trying to knock this stuff back. But it just, it is not my thing. There's something about it. It's the texture. It's the taste. It just does not work for me. So my review is this, because I have to be twofold in this, to be honest with you. Do people probably like sausage biscuits and gravy? Oh, yeah, they probably do. I have no doubt that they probably do. But did I like it? No. Now, does this have anything to do with Abby? No. I think she made a great sausage biscuits and gravy. It's just, it's not my thing. But the other people in the room did like it. Now, you're asking me, well, you told us now your review. Now, why are you not telling us how competitive Abby is? Because you said you were going to let us know how competitive she was. Well, here's how this all broke down. So this all happens on Friday, this whole incident with the sausage gravy. And I think that night, I posted the pictures from the sausage gravy episode. And I want to get this right. So I'm going to try to pull up the page here where this was brought up. See if I can find the exact quote that happened on Facebook. Because what I put up was this. Here's what I put. I put, I have to go away. I didn't realize I was posting this much this weekend. Okay, let's go back here to Friday. What day was Friday? Friday the 25th? Might have been Friday. Might have been the 25th. No, so it was the 24th. Okay, we got to scroll back to the 24th of January. Okay, here we go. Here's the pictures. 5:01 p.m., Friday, January the 24th. I put, here was my thing. Oh man, today's sausage gravy episode. Thanks, Abby, for making it. People who love it, love it. I hear it's fantastic. Okay, but not for me. That's all I'm saying. So, down in the comments section, here's what Abby wrote. Now, this is the competitive thing. What she wrote was, she said, the gravy was done. Let me see if I can get this right here. The gravy was done, if my finest work, and you stepped out of your biscuit comfort zone, so it's a win, I guess, with an exclamation point. That was her reply to that. So it's a win, I guess, because I stepped out of my comfort zone to eat this stuff. Now, this was Abby's subliminal way to say that she had won. Because this is how this is how she is. And this is not a bad trait. Competitive people are good. I like competitive people. Most sports people are competitive people. But clearly, Abby wanted to win, even though she realized that I did not like it. Not something I would ever order again. But she had to win. Because I stepped out of my comfort zone, all of a sudden she's the winner. And I don't know if that's true. Doesn't make any sense to me. Now, I don't know if she's listening this morning. Now, I'm going to guess this. I'm going to guess she's not listening this morning because I have not heard anything. And usually when I say something a little... Oh, she is listening. See, she is listening because now I'm getting the pop-ups. Now, she's kept quiet, is what she's telling us. Listen, she is listening. I appreciate that she's listening, but she's just too competitive. I mean, honestly, I think if anybody challenged her to anything, she would try to win that competition hands down. I've seen her play games, and she's just so violently competitive. We played Jenga one time. You know the Jenga game? I've never seen somebody so competitive in my life. I mean, it was like a blood sport to play Jenga with her. Now, she will tell you that she's a gracious loser, but I don't think that's true because even when she does lose, she pretends that she wins. So I don't know where this competitive spirit comes in her, but it might be one of those things that has to be checked out. She cannot turn down a challenge. And I was thinking the other day, there's something I should challenge her to that I know there's a lot of things she would lose. I mean, let's be honest. But I was thinking there's something I should challenge her to in which I know she would lose. Because what I want to see is if she truly is a gracious loser, because I've never heard her admit that she has lost. So, is there anything you think I should challenge her to that I would win? Because when I win, I want to see if she truly is a gracious loser, if she can swallow that. Because I don't know if she can, to be honest with you. She's highly, highly competitive. So, what do you think? 740-383-9944. 51 and a half minutes past the hour. Have a whole nother hour. Probably going to do some movie trivia next hour. That's always a lot of fun. But what do you think of the sausage gravy episode? Do you think it was her gravy, or do you think it's just my aversion to not liking gravy that happened last Friday? And would you like to hear Abby and I get into some kind of competitive mess that one of us could win at? All right, here comes the call. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Scott, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing great. The thing you got to realize is it's not about competitiveness. It's about, you know, her making a statement, you know, or something like that, you know?
Her making a statement about her gravy?
Yeah, and actually getting you to try new things. That's what she's trying to do, you know? Women are like that. They're really super competitive, though, too. I've run into a couple of them situations where I thought I was almost going to die there, you know, playing a simple game of Monopoly.
Well, this is it about Abby. And let me just preface this by saying, Abby and I get along great. We have a lot of fun. As far as I know, she's taking the group of us out to eat on February 13th. She's buying. She's going to purchase all the food. We're going to have a lot of fun. And so I like Abby a lot. You know, don't misquote this, that I like it. But clearly, she's got a problem with losing, because even though I did not like this gravy, I will never eat sausage biscuits and gravy again, she does not like to lose.
Well, the only situation you got there is just go with the flow and if she's wanting to be the competitive type, it's better off just to let them run their course there, you know?
Well, to be honest with you, I could probably beat her in just about anything. So what do you think I should challenge her to? What would be a good option where I could beat her, and then we could really see if she's as gracious as she says she is?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, you really don't know exactly how much, you know, she knows and stuff like that. You know, there might not be anything you could possibly beat her at. That's the thing. You just have to process of elimination. Sure, there's one thing that you're going to be better at than she is, so that's the niche you're going to have to find there.
Well, I can just say that's about 99% of the things in the world.
Well, very good. You're good at broadcasting now, I'll tell you.
Oh, well, I appreciate that. But I don't want to put her, you know, in that position, because she, you know, she'd be like miles behind. It's going to have to be some kind of game or some kind of sport or some kind of, I don't know, something that's competitive that we can do that clearly she will lose. And then we'll find out if she really is a gracious loser.
Well, that's what you want to find out. Take her on a fishing trip, or take her out fishing and see who comes up with the biggest fish, I imagine.
See, here's the problem, though. If I took Abby fishing, here's what would happen. We would go out on, what's a good fishing lake around here?
Oh, you go up maybe to the lakes, or...
Okay. Let's say Abby and I go up to the lakes, and, you know, she puts on her, whatever that kind of, you know, the fishing hat with the lures in it. We would go up to the fishing lake, and we'd get out there on the boat, and eventually she would start her competitive attitude and tell me how I like sausage and gravy, and I would end up just pushing her into the lake. She would end up in the lake.
Oh, boy. That's not such a good idea, then, isn't it?
No, I don't want to put, you know, I think she could probably, I don't know if she can swim or not, but I would have to throw her in the lake at some point because spending a long distance of time with somebody, you know, that kind of really cements your relationship as people in life, and I don't know if we could spend that much time together, to be honest.
Well, that's a toughie. I mean, there's a lot of sports out there. Golf, might take her golfing there and see that way.
Oh, golfing, I'm sure. You know, that's a good guess. That's a good, you know, we're in the winter, though. I don't know how well we'd golf out there. I'm trying to think of something that we could do that would be simple and,
I got it.
Okay, go ahead.
Take her down to the casino. That way it's a win-win position. That way if you win money and she wins money, you both, you know, are winners right there.
And then she gives me her money that she wins? Is that how we do it?
No, you let her keep her share of her money, and of course you win, and both of you are, you know, can come out and say, you know, hey, we won money. Way she's good at what she did, and you're good, just as good at, you know, winning money too.
Well, those are all good suggestions. I thank you for calling in.
No problem.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, now we're getting suggestions. Karaoke contest. Well, see, I am not a singer. I mean, I would try. I've karaoke'd before. I don't know how many people have known that. There's not a lot of known people in the room when I'm out karaokeing. But, you know, who would be the judge, though? You got to have judges in a karaoke contest. I don't know. You know, I've heard Abby talk, so I'm guessing her singing is probably not better. So, you know, that might not work. But what would be a good contest? Does anybody know? 740-383-9944. Phone lines are open. 57 minutes past the hour, coming up on 58. We got a whole nother hour, and I think we're going to get a phone call because she's nuts. I mean, I love her to death. She's nuts. She's clearly certifiably nuts. And you'll hear that next hour. And yeah, I hate to say that somebody's nuts like that because that might cause a stigmatism. No, it might cause a stigma. But you'll hear the nutsness, because now she still claims that I like this sausage gravy, which is clearly not true. I don't know what we could compete at, you know, because I don't want to overwhelm her with something. I'm going to think about this during the break. Something that I could just clobber her with. Just clobber her. But I do have to thank our other person in the class for bringing the drink, because she really saved me in that particular situation with the drink. But I have a feeling we're going to hear from Abby next hour. We might possibly hear from Sean. I don't know. Haven't heard from him this morning. But if anybody has any ideas, let me know. What should the contest be, and why did I not like this sausage biscuits and gravy? Tasted like wallpaper paste. But again, that's not a knock on Abby, because the other people in the room did like it. They really did. So it's not a knock on her. She's just super competitive, so she thinks she won something. Now, don't go anywhere. Hold your horses. We've got big stuff coming up. We got big stuff. Oh, Abby brought the drink. Okay, well, we'll straighten all that out on the other side. Don't go anywhere. I think we're going to have a great call, and this is going to be hilarious. Stay tuned.
Give you that, too. Then I looked at my body, and I said, cancer, I ain't never bothered you. Dare you to bother me. I'm going to give you 72 hours to get out of my body. And if you're not, I'm going to roll on you.
The legendary newsman and former host of the Today Show, Hugh Downs.
Though with only 3 minutes left and 25 days, you have a big birthday coming up on Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
My goodness, I can't even believe 95. That's amazing.
Yeah, well, it is to me too, I guess. And you know something I can honestly say? Every decade of my life has been better than the preceding decade.
The legendary singer of the hit song Tossin' and Turnin', Bobby Lewis.
I couldn't sleep at all last night. boom, 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 boom. Thinking of you, things wasn't right. Well, I was tossing and turning and tossing and turning.
To the exchange panel of Scott Spears, Sean Kraft, and Charlie Evers.
Oh. You gotta go to a shrink?
Yes.
How much do they shrink? What are they before
Charlie,
they shrink?
No, wait, you know, so you have mental anguish over this.
Yes,
now.
I do.
So it's not only the physical, it's the mental anguish.
You guys are something else.
No, we are.
That's why we're here.
I'm deadly interested in this story.
If we weren't something else, we'd be walking the hallway.
Oh, Lord, it's physical.
But the thing.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, Marion's Talking Place. Streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com. Programming on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM is supported by CRT Mechanicals. Address 2842 Marion Waldo Road. Telephone number 740-225-4495. Webpage crtmechanicals.com.
3, 2, 1. Oh no. Which button am I?
When every second counts, you can't wing it.
Guys, a little help up here?
In a home fire, you may have less than 2 minutes to get out. So make a family home fire escape plan. Then practice home fire drills at least twice a year so everyone knows what to do when they hear. Prepare your family at ready.gov/firedrill. Brought to you by FEMA, the Ag Council, and Make Safe Happen.
Hey everybody, it's Pastor Steve Whitaker from The Pastor Spot. We are on every Tuesday at 5:15 and replay again on Wednesday at 3:15. We take pertinent issues of the day going on and look at them in a biblical perspective. So we'd love to have you listen and just, you know, call in, just get a conversation going and have a great time on the show.
Pastor Steve Whitaker is the pastor at Community Christian Fellowship in Prospect, Ohio. Address 209 East Water Street. This is Scott Spears, high above Marion in the WWGH News Chopper. If you see news in Marion, please email us at scott@wwgh1071.com and keep an eye out for the WWGH News Chopper flying high overhead. We here at WWGH Radio 107.1 FM are proud to present Magnificent Marion Moments.